Now, I want us to start in Matthew chapter. We're going to read Luke chapter number 10, but let's start on Matthew chapter number 10. And when he, Matthew chapter number 10, take it down again, friends, for me, the mic. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. Lucky. What's wrong? Zach. Alfred, John, Harry, now it names all the 12 apostles. Verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent out. My mic is still very high. Yeah, that's what I want to run away from. Testing one, two. That's better, thank you. These 12. Now we are getting the picture that he's still dealing with the 12 here, right? He's still dealing with the 12. Jesus had many disciples, but amongst his many disciples, which the Bible does not give the definite number of how many were his disciples. The only time when the highest number that we could find is 500. But we know that there could be more. So out of the many, he selected 12 and he called them apostles. So here he's speaking to the 12 apostles. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now this instruction was very interesting. He's saying that there are places I don't want you to go, but I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Now when you go to chapter number 15, which we're not going to read now, when you go to chapter number 15, Jesus found himself caught up in a situation which he had earlier told his disciples, don't get involved. Because a Canaanite woman cries out to him and says, "My daughter is vexed with demons. Please help her." And now the disciples of Jesus are walking with him and they're saying, "You said the Gentiles and the Samaritans we must not entertain. Go rather to the lost city of the lost, to the lost house of Israel, lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now Jesus is caught up, you know, with a Canaanite woman who is a Gentile, needing help from him. And earlier he told his disciples, "Don't get involved." Now, I'm bringing this because we ask ourselves oftentimes that there are things we preach about a church and say, stay away from that. But then we get to a point where those that need our help are exactly caught up in the very thing which we said, stay away from. Oh, you're not hearing me. Okay, at least half of the church is hearing me. Are you hearing me, Church of God? I mean, I'm sorry. Allow me to be practical. Is that okay? Allow me to be practical. Now, I grew up, and I was told, because I grew up with children, don't go to a tavern. Because a tavern is for sinners. Yeah. Don't. And then...
When you grow up, then realize that the people you want to save are in the taverns.
If I was a good preacher, I was just going to leave it here, pack my bags and go, and leave you with a question to say, where to go from here? Where to go from here?
So Jesus is caught up. Don't involve yourself. Now there comes a Canaanite woman. Have mercy on me, for my daughter is possessed with demons.
And Jesus pretended like not listening to her. And he spoke to himself and he said, I am called only to the lost sheep of Israel. That's the first answer that Jesus gave. I'm not focusing on that scripture because it's just a bypass. You know what a bypass is, right? Yeah. I'm sent only to the lost sons of Israel.
And the woman kept on calling.
And Jesus was like, I am not going to take children's food and give it to dogs.
Are you feeling what I'm feeling?
No, I'm joking. I'm not feeling anything. What did you feel?
I cannot take children's. This woman is listening. And the disciples of Jesus, instead of becoming compassionate for her, they are sticking to what he told them earlier on. And they say, Jesus, this woman is making noise. Can't you tell her to shut up?
That's what they are saying. We are sorry. We cannot help you. So shut up. And Jesus said, I can't take children's food and give it to dogs. And this woman said, even dogs eat of the crumbs that falls from the master's table. And Jesus stopped. And he said, I have to break the very thing I told them. Because now the situation is real.
He stopped, remembering exactly what he told his disciples. But he said, this time, things have to change. This time, for this woman, for the cry that she has, things have to change. I have to break the rules.
I'm not here to tell you how to break rules. I'm here to tell you how to exercise your authority. But that's a diplomatic way of saying how to break rules. He stopped. He first addressed these ones because they already know what he said. He said, not even in Israel have I found faith like this. Not even in Israel have I found faith like this. And therefore he turned and he spoke a word. Go back, your daughter is healed. The demons left the daughter.
Now, if you are going to follow this religiously, if you're going to follow this by the law,
you're not going to help that woman.
It takes you to understand things differently, to see things differently. One time,
how many of you have been to Industrial Chisanyama in Bickard Street? You've been there? Or a different one? There's one here in Polokwane called Industrial Chisanyama, Bickard Street. Don't act like you're too holy. I saw your face one day there.
Yeah.
You've been there. Have you been there in the evening? Believe me. During the day, it's nice. They sell food. It's more like Waterland. During the day, it's nice. They sell food. Can I get an amen? One time, Friday night, the Lord says to me, I want you to go to Industrial Shisanyam. And I said to him, I was very clear, God, you know how Peter responded when he saw the veil coming down with oil? I said, in my life, I've never been to a place like that. I've never eaten anything unclean. And God said, I want you to go there. And somehow I knew exactly what to expect getting there. And so what I did, I called in to order food. Because I now need to use excuse in case Pastor Alfred sees me there. I will say, I came to buy food, and what did you come for? So I ordered food, and then I took two of my friends, and then we went. And I'm telling you, when we walked in there, my two friends were also pastors. They said, what exactly are we doing here? One of them actually wanted to remain in the car, did not want to walk in with us. And there's a DJ playing very loud music in there. The lights, you know, all colors of lights flashing on your face. People drinking and smoking. I'm not even going to talk about how the ladies were dressed up. And I'm telling you, when I walked in there, I simply said to God, God, I don't belong here. This is not my place. And even the way I was walking, I felt like everybody can tell that this one is a pastor. You know, when you're walking and you feel lost, you can tell, everybody can tell that, my brother, just go to church. This is not your place. Now, the worst thing happens because in my prayer, in my heart, I'm saying, God, please let there be no one who knows me here. Let there be no one who sees me. Because it's around 9 o'clock at night. 9 o'clock at night. I walk into Industrial Shisanyam. 9 o'clock at night. Even when you walk in through the gate, they search you. There are bouncers there who searches you to make sure that you don't have a weapon. And I walked in there. And as I walked in towards the counter, the music is playing. I can hardly hear anything because people are very noisy. The music is noisy. And then there comes this young girl running to me. She's like, Apostle! And I'm saying to myself, please don't call me Apostle in here. And she comes and she hugs me. And then she says, no, I'm your daughter from church. I work here. That's what she said. She said, I work here. And she said, when you called, I'm the one who actually picked up the phone. And when you said Shabangu, and she's like, there's only one Shabangu I know. It better be him. And indeed, I showed up. She's so happy. She's hugging me. Now, from the church side, she's hugging me. It's good. But from the other side, it's not a good picture. From the other side. I mean, from the industrial side, it's not a good picture. Because if you were sitting somewhere in the corner looking at me, you would be saying, oh, he came for her. And the food took 20 minutes or so. It felt like 3 months. Because I'm sitting there looking at my watch. When is the food coming? When is the food coming? When is the food coming? And that place is so noisy. Eventually, when the food came, they took the food and then we walked out. Now, as we walked out of the gate, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, you know, the way you felt when you were inside, when you walked in, that is exactly how sinners feel when they go to church. I cried, standing there at the gate. Tears came down. He said, that's exactly how they feel. When they get to church, they feel like they don't belong. They feel like everybody can see through them. The music is so loud. They feel like when the preacher is preaching, a 40-minute sermon, they feel like they've been there for 6 hours. Because in their hearts, they're like, when am I getting out of here? And if you watch closely, give a close, careful look, many sinners that come to church for the first time, they hardly come back for the second time. No, I'm not talking about a Christian who came to visit your church and liked it. And I'm talking about someone who in their lives have never been to church. To get them to church, it's not easy. And that is why God gave us authority. That authority is not for me to lay hands on you and you fall down here at church, you who are already born again. That's wasted power. That power needs to go out to someone who is possessed by demons, who is crying out, whom the system says, don't get involved. Oh, you did not hear me. You did not hear me. No, you did not. So I'll try again. Jesus has power and authority to can save the daughter of this woman. But the system says, you can't get involved because you will make yourself dirty. The system says, you can't sit with the Samaritan woman, just the two of you. He will make you dirty. He gave us authority. And I'm saying to you that we are using this authority in the wrong place. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. If anybody asks you, why did Lucky come and tell you? Just tell him, listen, he told us that God gave us authority, but we're using it in the wrong place. The people who need that power, the people who need that word, the people who need your anointing, the people who need the grace that God has put in your lives, upon your lives, they in on a Sunday morning, they sit at home and they drink until they can't drink no more. And all they need is someone who on a Sunday after the service will go and knock at their door and say, can I come in? I'm here to share the word of God and the love of God with you. I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you and drinking is not going to help you. There is someone who can deliver you from that. I can lay my hands on you. And you will lose the taste for alcohol. And the moment you do that, that's when the authority of heaven says, let's go. Let's go. Now we are going. It gets excited. It's like buying a Formula One racing car. And all you can do is to drive it on your driveway. From your garage to the gate, back to the garage, back to the gate, back to the garage. Are you hearing me? No. If you want that car to be excited, take it to Kyalami. Put it on a racetrack. It's like buying a Land Cruiser. And you use it just to go to the mall and come home. Go to the mall and come. If you want to know what a Land Cruiser is capable of doing, take it off-road. Take it off-road. You have no idea of what you are capable of doing. You have no idea how much authority you have. Because you have never taken it to the right place. Why is God empowering you? So you can go out. All right, let's go back to scripture. Verse 7. And as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do this, verse 7, the first part. Do this as you... you do not. Are you following me? As you go. I'm sorry, let me be a notorious preacher again. Let me be that preacher that you will say, no, I don't like what he said there. It's okay. What are we doing as the church? Sit and pray. God, bring the sick. Bring the sick so we can heal them. Bring the sick. Bring the lepers. Bring the dead. Is that not what we do? Is that not what we do? It's what we do. We are sitting here, praying here, so that the sick can come where we are. God, we declare this place to be a holy ground. We declare this place. We do all that. Don't worry. In this that I say to you, I speak like Paul when he was addressing the issue of tongues. And he comes and says, when it comes to tongues, I can tell you that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So I speak the things I speak right now with confidence because I know how much time I spend in prayer. I know how many hours I commit to prayer. So I'm not here to criticize prayer because myself I live by prayer. Because myself I have places, I have a place where I separate myself from everyone, from my cell phone, from my family, and I go and hide myself for hours and hours and seek the face of God. So don't think I'm here to criticize prayer. No. We've spent 72 hours here. You remember? 72 hours here. We're praying. Non-stop. 72 hours. And many testified that it was for the first time. In fact, they had their personal best in terms of the longest time they've prayed non-stop. I'm not going to lie. My personal best, the longest time I've ever prayed non-stop, it was 23 hours. I could not go to the 24th hour. My body was now broken, completely broken. Voice could not come out. Like, I could not even... I realized that, okay, if I continue like this, I will pray myself to death. So I stopped at 23 hours. I'm talking about continuous non-stop. So do not think that I speak in this manner because I criticize the power of prayer. I speak rather from the wisdom and the knowledge that I've gained from God through prayer and through studying the Word of God. Where it teaches me that if you want to heal the sick, don't call them in. Go! If you want to cleanse the lepers, don't sit there and write a letter and say, if you have leprosy, come to my church. No, 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 no. Go to where they are. As you go. If I was to categorize these authorities, I would say that the first authority that we're given from Jesus, our master and our commander, is to go. The second authority is where he arms us. Are you hearing me? So, okay, let me help you understand this. Saul, Acts chapter number 9 and Acts chapter number 22. Saul says, the Bible says, he says, I went to the high priest and they gave me letters. Authority letters. For me to go to Damascus, that whoever I find. So he got letters to do what? He got the letters to go. So if anybody stops him and says, are you going? He say, I have a letter. I have my authority. Right. He has the authority. He has the letter. So the first authority we get is the authority to go. The second authority that we get is the armor.
Why the armor? Because now it takes us to chapter number 10 of the book of Luke. The armor is that when you go, Portia, when you go, that's when you're going to find snakes and scorpions. Hallelujah. Are you getting me, Church of God? When you go, that's when you're going to find snakes and scorpions. That's when you're going to find attacks and challenges. That's when you're going to face battles. But the same authority that I'm giving you, it becomes an armor. The armor is not the first thing. Because the armor without the mission is useless. That's why we're bombing each other in the church. The armor without authority is not helping us. Or rather, without going. I've been to places, I've been to churches where they will prophesy what God is going to do. But one thing that they miss in the prophecies is that whatever has to happen, somebody needs to go. Those that will experience that authority, and they will see it, and they will have real and practical testimonies, if you're still with me, say amen, are those who have gone out. Paul says, I was given authority. I was given the letters. And then when I went, I did not go alone, because the letters automatically releases, the letter on its own automatically releases soldiers that must accompany me. That is why when Saul saw the light, he saw. He says, those who were with me, are you following me? So he was not alone. And even though he became blind, those who were with him were still loyal to help him get to Damascus. Because the loyalty is not based on how much he has prayed. It's based on the authority that has been given to him. So the loyalty of the support and the heavenly backup that you need will be there to take you to Damascus, even when the physical condition says you can't get to Damascus anymore to fulfill the mission. But because I have provided backup for you. Some of you are very, very... You have unfit, very unhealthy angels. Because ever since they were deployed to you, you have never given them any work. So they've been sitting there, gaining weight. Because they have never engaged in any battle. The only thing that they know how to do is to go and get you water from the kitchen. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But you need to get your angels that have been deployed to you to work. They must know that we don't sleep. They must know that they must go wait for you at Bait Bridge, because you are going to Zimbabwe. Isn't that she called us? Because you are going back, you are going to Zimbabwe. Are you hearing me, Church of God? They must go ahead of you. Some must be behind you. Some must be on your side. That even if you fall off the horse, they will still be there to carry you and say, the mission to Damascus is still on. Authority. So he says, as you go, I want you to heal the sick. I want you to... Where are we? Oh, I think I've... jumped the gun. Alright, let's go to Luke chapter number 10.
after these things, and after these things, from verse number 1, Luke chapter number 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Other versions say 72. And sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He did not say pray the Lord of the harvest to bring the harvest. He said the result of the prayer that you are making is that some laborers must be sent. People must go out. Verse number 3. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. The day I walked into industrial Chisanyam, I looked like a lamb. And everyone looked like wolves. When they come to church, I look like a lion. But there, I look like a lamb. But don't worry. When I go to such places, I no longer look like a lamb. Not anymore. Did you hear what I said? I said, when I go where? That means that I never stopped. It means that I'm no longer afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. And when I walk in with authority. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. When he met Zacchaeus, notorious tax collector, he said, today I'm coming to eat it at your house. And Zacchaeus called his other friends who are tax collectors. And remember, then the tax collector was a worse sinner. Matthew, when he was called, he was a tax collector. He was also with his friends. And they said, a friend to sinners. And I'm telling you, I've shared the gospel with many people. I get to Madagascar one time, and I'm sitting at a hotel. And they give me a menu. It's written in French. Now I cannot read French. Is it French or French? French. French or French? French. But yeah, it was written in French. So I could not read. Now there's an Indian lady sitting next on the next table. She realized that this man is stuck. He can't read. And she says, I can help you. I see you cannot read French. And I said, oh, I would appreciate that. And then, so she shows me what that is. And as she's speaking, then they bring an English menu to me. But then I thought, this French menu, it must do something here today. And then I asked her, like any man will make a move to any woman, are you sitting alone? Can I join you? She said, sure you can. And I said, I am no longer a lamb. I'm now a lion. I know how to devour prey in the spiritual realm. So I sit with her on the table. We start to have a conversation. She tells me where she's from, Mauritius. She's there for business. What are you here for? I'm here for business. I'm not here to preach. I'm here for business. Because sometimes when you get into places, you to win them. I know I've been taught ever since I was young, don't hide your Christianity. When you get to the place that you are a Christian. But then I realized that there are some places where you have to look at it differently. And I said to her, I'm here on business. Simple. Enjoyed my dinner from her recommendation. Went to sleep. In the morning, go out for breakfast. I see she's there at the restaurant, sitting alone. She was alone. And then I'm there with one of my directors who is from India, a Chinese guy, but he's from India. We traveled together to Madagascar. We're in the same hotel. I say to him, listen, I want to lead that lady to Christ. So I'm not going to have breakfast with you. So he says to me, go for it. Go for it. So I go and sit with her. And then I still don't tell her who I am. So, you know how it is. Come back in the evening. I go out with my director. We have dinner. As we are having dinner, she walks in. There are guys there. Three guys. Who are looking at her like, oh, okay, there comes prey. And then she looks at them like, I don't trust this one. She comes to us and sits with us. When she sits with us, my director says to me, I have a meeting. He leaves. He's a Christian. He's a preacher. He leaves. And then, I'm out of time. I will finish this story next year, right? That there is always a gap in the system. No, I'm joking. I'm still on time. Now I say to, now, day one, day two, day three, day four, I never say anything to her. Day four in the evening, the following day in the morning, I'm leaving. Then she even gave me a number. I call her, where are you? Let's meet. Fine. We go and sit in a lounge. You know at the hotels, there are lounges where they've just put nice lounges. You just go sit there. We go sit there. And at this moment, she has told me half of the things that are happening in her life. Because she has gained my trust. Now I know what's happening with her husband. I know what's happening with her child. I know what's happening with her business. I know everything that is happening. And I know she's at the edge of divorce. Her life is crumbling. And in all these days, I never said anything to you about Jesus. And that evening, I said to her, you know, when I grew up not as a religious person, but in a Christian family. This is how I opened it up. And every time I've been stuck, I've been taught to pray. At this moment, I know, because she has already told me she's a Hindu. She's from a Hindu background. And I said, I've been taught to pray. I knew that the moment I said to her, I'm a Christian, that's where we're going to separate. Because of her background. But I've been taught to pray. And every time I prayed, no. Most of the time I prayed, it kind of worked. I don't know whether it's psychological or something really is out there to hear our prayers. But it has always worked. And so she asked me, how do you pray? Very interesting. And I said, that's exact. When they say checkmate, that was the checkmate moment. When she said, how do you pray? And I said, this is where all authority comes out. This is where I'm going to exercise the authority of the kingdom of heaven. Before I finished speaking, she was on her tears. And she was saying, please pray for me. I prayed for her right there at the hotel. I prayed for her. And she said to me after I prayed, she said, when you prayed for me, I felt something in me that I've, such peace that I've never felt ever in my life.
in my life. The Lord worked in her. The Lord worked in her. I'm telling you, when I was in Madagascar, I don't know how many places I preached at, I don't know how many Christians I'm, but the one testimony that I brought up and I still remember, it's where I left the 99 and I went just to that one lost sheep. Listen to me, Church of God. Our lives are just not yet to be celebrated in the church to say, that was a good song, that was a good sermon, that was a good prophecy, that was a good preaching. But our lives should be measured. But what do we do when we go outside? So you have the authority. The question is, where are you going to use that authority? Where are you going to use that? And I'm here to challenge you. So if you want to see the manifestation, if you want to see what you're capable of doing, go out.